You're listening to Alan Dolby, and it's the All Charity Matters. We've got a programme today for an hour between 6 and 7, and talking to a local charity in Woking. Now, in the studio today, I've got a couple of people. I've got John Andrews, who works for MenCap. I'll just introduce him in a minute. And also William, who he looks after. Now, John, what do you do for MenCap?
Well, I am a support worker. I've been doing that job for probably about, about 6 or 7 years now. I started in 2012.
Is that a full-time job?
It's a full-time job. Yep. It's my full-time job. So, so I've been doing that for a while. Basically, my job is just to support people to access their community and to sort of do things they need to do around the home and just to be really as independent as possible.
What did you do before you came to MenCap?
Well, before that, I spent about 12 years working in Tesco's. And I think for me, at that point, I was going through a bit of a career rut, you know, when you're sort of going through the motions. And I wasn't really feeling particularly respected when I was working in a supermarket. And I felt like I was just a number rather than a person.
Do you think that sort of maybe helped you, because you'd be dealing with people all the time and that sort of stuff, that might have helped you in your future career?
I think definitely some transferable skills, working with people. I see myself as a people person, definitely some transferable skills there.
Obviously, you mentioned the way you change jobs. Do you find what you do at the moment, is that quite fulfilling?
I think so. I think I'm a big believer in job satisfaction. You know,
it's not much point doing a job otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we don't get paid like a massive amount for working in care. So I think most of us do it because, you know, we are compassionate, we're caring, and we sort of share the values of MenCap, and we just love making a difference.
And so talk about MenCap themselves. How big is the organisation? Do you know how big they are?
It is a national organisation. There's sort of the charity side of it that runs as a scheme called a Gateway Club, which is run through MenCap, and that's run by volunteers. I work for, I guess you'd call it the business side, so I work in the supported living side. So basically I'm based in the Woking supported living house, and I do what we call outreach as well. So people like William, who lives with his family, and then I'll just come along usually on a Friday and we'll go out and do what William wants to do.
Oh, that sounds good. We'll just talk to William in a minute. So your first impressions of maybe MenCap is just, it's just a charity and it's just a support organisation. But it's quite big and actually gets government contracts to run facilities and whatever as well, or local authorities give them contracts to do. So it is quite an evolved business.
It is, yes.
And does it just provide support workers, or is there other things it does as well?
It provides support workers, and there's loads of things that MenCap do. It's the voice of learning disability. So we also campaign, when we see injustices and things that aren't right with sort of attitudes towards people with learning disabilities and things like that. So there's a lot of campaigning that goes on. There's a lot of, mainly what I do is working with adults, but there are, I think, some children's services in some areas as well. There's a lot of stuff that MenCap does, and the support worker is one of the, is one big part of it, though.
Okay, so you say a support worker, and that's for learning disabilities.
Yes.
What does that learning disabilities actually mean?
Well, a learning disability, I suppose, is just somebody that has, a mental impairment, or maybe some sort of condition like maybe autism, or something like that. And there's a big, I didn't really realise sort of the difference between learning disability and learning difficulty. So I suppose learning difficulty would be more sort of somebody has dyslexia or something like that. So there is a difference.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise
that. I found that one out a few weeks ago.
and is there a sort of different scale of learning disabilities that... and is there some that you at MenCap can't treat or can't support?
we try, you know, there's so much that MenCap does. We're able to work with people, you know, through from somebody who has maybe what we call mild learning disability, someone just needs a little bit of support in a certain area. I mean, when someone comes to be supported by MenCap, an assessment is done, like a support assessment, and that will be done by the authorities, maybe the council or somebody like that will come in and just work out how much support somebody actually needs. And then from that, you know, MenCap will be given a contract to support that person, and we'll come up with a series of support plans and risk assessments, and we'll just sort of work in a very individual, person-centred way to support that person.
So it's an individual support plan.
Yes, absolutely. So the support plan and risk assessments, so we look at what support somebody needs and how we can deliver it. And we try and make the support plans as detailed as possible. So if a new member of staff comes on, comes and joins us, they then read all the support plans and the detail, you know, down to how somebody likes their hair coloured or cut, or just what football team they support, what breakfast cereal they like, just little things like that, just to make it very, very individual, because we are all individuals and everyone likes different things and likes things done in their own sort of way.
So how do they gather that information for that support plan then? They must have some super support workers that talk to the individual.
And work that out. Yeah, we involve the person we're supporting in as much as possible in planning the support. You know, we know, you know, I work with sort of a number of people around the Woking area. I support a number of people, and I know them because I see them most days. So I know if I write their support plan. We have a number of people that I sort of key work for, so I'll sort of, that would be my kind of main area to make sure their support plans are done. But we all work together and we all put bits and pieces together so we know the person as an individual.
Okay. All right, we just have a track. This was requested by William, who's in the studio at the moment.
William likes his music, don't you, William?
You like your music. So why this is Keen and Is It Any Wonder? Why do you like this track in particular?
Because I've got it at home. I discovered it quite recently, and it's one of my favourite songs by Snow Patrol.
It's actually by Keane, actually.
By Keane. It's one of my favourite songs by Keane, and I've got it on one of my old CDs, and I like listening to it at home. And that's why I like this song.
I've got this at home, and I've listened to it, and I like listening to it in the car, and I've got it on CD as well. None of this download rubbish. I've got it all on the CDs. Right, let's have a listen to this one then. Well, welcome back. That was Keen and Is It Any Wonder, requested by William. Right, you're listening to All Things Charity on Radio Way, and Radio Way is hospital radio station broadcasting on the Ashford and St Peter's network, and also to the World Wide Web, indeed. And in the studio, I've got John Andrews and William. Right, John. What training is involved? Obviously, you've been working at Tesco's for, was it 12 years or 16 years, something like that?
12 years, yes.
And you can't sort of suddenly go and do the job, job which is completely maybe alien to what you were doing before. Mm. What sort of training is involved in doing that?
Sort of starting with my personal experiences. As I said, I was working in a supermarket, didn't really feel valued. So around this time, I was actually here at Radio Way working with a chap who has Asperger's, and that was my first introduction to the world of learning disability. So sort of working a way of getting this this guy marked down sort of to a level where he could present a show. So that was my first experience. My dad was working with people with mental health problems for Woking Mind, so that was another sort of, that's always been sort of in the background. And I was kind of looking for another job, but I wasn't quite sure where I wanted to go, because my Tesco job, I started it when I was at college, and then I just thought, I'm going to be here a few months, maybe a year, just to get me through college, and 12 years later, I'm still there, going through the motions. And I was talking to somebody on Twitter who actually is a support worker. I think they live in Scotland or something, and they sort of told me all about it and actually helped me fill in the application form, which was really good. So from there, filled in the application, got invited to the local office in Lightwater for an interview. And the interesting thing about MenCap interviews is when you go for a job, it's very important that the person who is going to be a support worker is actually the right match for the people that we need to support. So we try and involve the people we're supporting in the actual interview process. So I did go to an interview. I think I went for an interview for a job in sort of Mitcham or something like that originally, but it would have been too far, so that didn't really work out. But that interview, I always remember there was personnel supporting, or one of the sort of people MenCap supports actually involved asking questions and things like that, so they can make sure that the person fits well. So had my interview,
Did they actually have somebody in mind that you might be able to support? Do they look at that at the interview stage?
I suppose they do. I mean, they look at who they've got in the area, who needs supporting, and then they sort of work. They work out. It's quite important because it is a very individual thing. Mm. But no, I had my interview and then got offered the job, and I started off working in Guildford. I went along to the house before I was actually offered the job, and I was just observed by the manager playing dominoes with people, just see how I interact.
Yeah.
And everything, and it all went well, got the job.
Do you think your dad's experience, that sort of thing, helped as well?
I think so, because I did a lot of stuff through what he did for Woking Mind. I was helping out, sort of growing up, I was involved in planning activities and things like that. So I think that was definitely a factor as well.
And maybe that broke sort of down the barriers a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I always try not to judge people, you know, because everybody is a person, everyone's unique. I try not to sort of go with labels and things like that. So I've always been that sort of person, or try to be that like that anyway. But when I got offered the job, and then you go on the training, which takes probably a few weeks. You have a series of shadow shifts to start with, working with somebody, one of the other support workers, getting to know everybody. And then when you've had the training, you get sort of signed off for lone working, and, you know, you have to do your medication training and first aid training and all that. And when that's all done, get signed off, and then you sort of go out into the big wide world and start being a support worker.
So do you have to have any sort of pharmacy skills to know about giving medication or anything like that at all?
No, all the training is provided. You don't really need any specific experience, I don't feel, as a support worker. You have the right attitude, you apply for the job, and if you're the right sort of person, you've got the right attitude, then MenCap will support you. And, you know, they will work with you and provide excellent training and a sort of ongoing support. I mean, I'm very lucky. My manager, I have a good relationship with her, and I'm able to turn to her if there's anything bothering me or any problems. And my colleagues as well, very close sort of staff team, you know, and we're very sort of cover shifts for each other and look after each other. And I think that's really important. We sort of look after the staff, and then they could be the best they can be.
So amongst the support workers, you almost got a caring network between you as well, or support a network, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah, because, you know, there are times when things are tough. You know, I mean, there's times when there's a lot of laughter and a lot of fun, but then there's sort of some really sort of, tough things. I mean, it's stuff that support workers have to go through sometimes. I mean, recently, I think one of our services, somebody passed away, and that, I haven't experienced that personally, but if you're working with somebody supporting them and something like that happens, it's tough. It must be very, very tough indeed.
Because presumably, as a support worker, you know the person that you're supporting quite well.
Absolutely.
If that sort of thing happens, you know.
Yes.
It's just like part of the family, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with myself and William, you know, I've been supporting William for... How long is it now, William? You remember things better than I do.
4 years and... 5 years and 3 quarters.
Yes,
actually.
So 5 years and 3 quarters.
Not these counting at all.
No, no. William just remembers everything, so I don't need to remember things. Just William just remembers every little detail. So with William, you know, I think I try not to kind of like have a sort of obviously I have to be professional. There's professional boundaries and everything else, but you try to be almost friends of the people that we're supporting, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I try and do, you know, and just try and disregard their sort of disability because, you know, look at what they can do rather than what they can't do.
Yeah, and I suppose at the end of the day, you are friends.
Yes, I think I would say so. Wouldn't you, William?
Yeah, I'm very sorry. It was for three-quarter years. It was 4 years and three-quarters we've known each other.
Oh, okay.
Four years and three-quarters.
Yeah, that's all right.
How long we've known each other for.
It was close enough, William.
Okay, we're just going to have another track now. This is Oasis, Wonderwall. Again, requested by William. He's come up with some fantastic tracks. Got a good choice of music. Any particular reason why you like this one? Did it bring back any memories or anything? It
brings back happy memories when I've been listening to this song for many years now. It's my the reason why I really like this song is because it's my favourite Oasis song, and I've just been listening to it regularly since 2005, and I just got hooked on it, and I really like this song. It's just a fantastic song.
I like this song. It is really, really good.
Yeah.
I also like Champagne Supernova as well. That's another good Oasis one. Quite a long track. Right, let's have a listen to this then.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
I like the last little bit on the end of that. It's quite good. That was Oasis and Wonderwall, a fantastic song. Now we're going to talk about what support does MenCap give you as a support worker?
Well, there is a lot of support out there, from my manager, as I mentioned. My manager's really brilliant, and I really sort of value having her as a manager. You know, if I need certain days off, I'll say, look, can I have this day off? Can I go in half an hour later if I've got an appointment or something like that? And usually, you know, she'll accommodate it. So, not always possible, but, you know, she'll do her best. And I think that's very important, of a supportive manager.
How many people would normally support William? Just for instance, is that three people during a day or something?
How many people normally support you, William? You're probably the best person to answer that. William, how many people normally support you? Is it me?
Currently, it's two guys at the moment, John Andrews and Simon Bechelet.
Yes, and one of my colleagues, Simon, supports William as well. So we get a voter each month and then get given our shifts for that month.
All right, okay. But, obviously you can shift that around a little bit if you've got an important engagement to go to and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it's not possible, if a vote has been done and I've got something that comes up that I need to change, I'll just say to my colleagues, can you just cover this shift for me? And usually they'll do their best to help, I've got some very, very lucky to have a very close sort of team of colleagues that just say help each other out.
For instance, would you also be supporting William and maybe somebody else as well in a different shift or something, or a different shift pattern?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, for example, I was with, I started at 10 o'clock in the morning with William, and we went out just for a trip out to the coffee shops and just accessing the community, because that's pretty much what I do with William. We go around and go to places like Thorpe Park, and we went to the seaside, William, didn't we, as well?
We did, not so long ago, went
to Brighton, things like that. And then I finished with William at 5:30, drop him home, and then yesterday I went off to do another shift in our main house, which was in Woking, in Goldsworth Park, and that's sort of our main supported living house. So you've got five people that live there with various different learning disabilities, and sort of in the morning and the evening we're there to sort of give those people, support to cook and also to administer their medication as well, which is very important. So we do that. And then during the day, they all have sort of 1-to-1 hours and shopping days, and we help with cleaning and bits and pieces like that.
Okay. Yeah. So what qualities do you an ideal person that wants to work for MenCap and support be a sport one, what ideal qualities that should they have?
Well, it's not for everybody. You have to be the right sort of person, obviously, and I think you have to share MenCap's values, which are at the heart of everything we do. You have to be a kind person, you have to be compassionate, I think. You have to be empathetic, you have to be understanding, and also non-judgmental as well. Take everybody,
That's quite important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't judge people. There's times when, things can get stressful and everything, but you have to just sort of take it as it comes, really. But, you know, if you've got the right values, Mencat will support you and help you to sort of grow in the role.
All right, I've just got to play a trailer for our London concert, and we'll be back and talking to John Andrews and William.
Radio Way presents the London Concertante live from the Menuhin Hall in Cobham on Saturday the 19th of October at 7:30 p.m. We will be celebrating the life of former member David Humber, who presented the classical concert on Radio Way for almost 30 years. Tickets available now from the Menuhin Hall box office on 08700 842 020 or from the menuhinhall.co.uk website. That's the London Concertante live from the Menuhin Hall on Saturday the 19th of October. It's going to be a classic.
Right, you know, you're listening to All Things Charity with your host, Alan Dolby, and I've got John Andrews and William in the studio, and we're talking about Mencap and support workers. Now, John, you're quite a rare beast in Mencap, aren't you? Because you're a male.
Yes, this is my manager's always saying she needs more men.
Right.
But not in that way, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, yes, I mean, you think of sort of care work and generally is something that you think, oh, that's something that women do. You know, it's not a particularly masculine job, but it's very important because, as I mentioned before, everybody is an individual. And I think in a lot of situations, you know, a male person that we support would respond better to another man. You know, maybe if they're discussing sort of something personal, or maybe they just get on better if you're like all lads together sort of going out and doing things. So I think it's very important. You know, we have a wide range of support workers, you know, men, women, and different age groups as well.
Well, I suppose it could be a bit awkward if a woman is supporting a male person with learned disabilities.
Yeah.
That may be a little bit awkward, especially if they're sleeping over the night and that type of thing as well.
It could be a little bit awkward. I mean, I think generally the people we support sort of get on with all the staff, male or female. But sometimes, if you have got something personal, sometimes, you know, you've got a personal problem, you'll go and speak to a man about it rather than speak to a woman as a guy.
So
you may sort of open up more. So I think it is important, definitely. We need more men to come and work for Mencap.
Okay. And going back to a typical day that a support worker would do, follow us through what you do. You sort of touched on that you go out for a day, but maybe on a typical day, what would you do?
I don't think there's such a thing really as a typical day. Every day's different. So I get my voter, and sometimes I'll be at the sort of the main house, and I'll go in at 8 o'clock in the morning to our house in Gosford Park, and help make sure everyone's prepared their breakfast and everyone's gets ready. It's quite a busy thing first thing in the morning in the week, because you know people are getting picked up to go off to various day centres by taxis and bus in the bus and everything. So making sure everyone's ready in time and everyone's got their packed lunch, and then doing the medication, and then things calm down a bit around about sort of 9 o'clock. Everyone would sort of go out, and there'll be one or two of the people living in the house, the people we support, still there, and that will be their home day. So then we'd help them clean their room, clean their fridge, and then do a menu plan, shopping list, and then jump on the bus, go to town, do the shopping, banking.
So who decides if you're going to go to the seaside this day or Thorpe Park another day? Who decides that? Is that you, or is that your team at Mencap that do that?
No, it's actually the person we support. I mean, we try and involve them. So yeah, this will be on a one-to-one day. So they get given a certain number of hours. William has 7.5 hours, I think it is, on a Friday, and William can choose, because William is what we call sort of outreach. So he lives with his family, and I'll just go in, and I'm just there to help William access the community. So we'll go out to all sorts of different places. I mean, we've been everywhere, haven't we, William, over the last few years? We've been we've done all sorts of I think we went donutting once, didn't we, in Aldershot? That was fun.
Donutting, what's that?
Yeah, that's... do you want to explain what donutting is then, William?
Well, what donutting is about is that you take a tyre, like rubber ring, you. You drag it up a slope, which is by the side of the ski slope.
Oh, is this the one, the ski slope in Aldershot, is it?
That's at the That is the one at the ski centre in Aldershot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I know that, yeah. And so you just take up and, this rubber ring, sit in this rubber ring.
And when you, and you get to the top, you have to get in this rubber ring and you have to wait until you, the person who is up there with you does a countdown to send you off, and then you go down this ski slope at quite fast, and you can't move until your rubber ring comes to a complete standstill at the bottom, and then but you have to wait and see, look up above you to see if there are any other rubber rings coming at you, and then you can get up and walk with your tire and do it all over again.
Oh, right. I remember doing that once, but it was more like a sort of ski sledge going down the slope. That was great fun. But I do remember the rubber rings and that sort of stuff. Yeah, you don't want to get out your rubber ring and then get bowled over by somebody else, particularly there.
No, that's good. Not.
So who pays for these activities that you do? Obviously, Thorpe Park might be quite expensive.
A lot of places, actually. I mean, as far as bus fares are concerned, most of the people we support have companion bus passes, which they could take a companion on the bus. So they travel 3 after 9:30, and then I can go as a support worker, go with them as sort of their plus one on their bus pass. Mm. And if you go to places like museums and Thorpe Park, you can generally get sort of 3 entry for carers. So sometimes you have to sort of take various documents to prove that I am doing what I say I'm doing, as a carer. But usually, William will pay, for example, to go in somewhere, and I'll go in as a carer supporting him, so there shouldn't be any charge for me.
Oh, I've got a question for William now. What do you think of John as a support worker?
I think he's very supportive, very kind, very honest, reliable kind of guy. He's always willing to help me when I'm in a difficult situation. If I've forgotten something, like a pen or my wallet, we can go back and get whatever I've forgotten back. So he's really helpful person, and he's always there to support me. And when I'm in a spot of bother, and he tries to steer me for a crisis when I'm really suffering or have forgotten something that I need to get back again with me back to me.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I mean, this is the thing, I suppose, with someone with a learning disability, particularly something like autism, routines and things are very important. So the slightest change, if staff member's going to be changed, or somebody's support gets altered, we change the time, or even to something as simple as a barrow going missing or something like that, that wouldn't really bother most of us. Yeah. Those sort of things can have a big impact, and we have to sort of understand that. And it is, as William says, a crisis. So we need to sort of respond to that and just make sure we guide the person we're supporting through that.
Okay. Right, we're going to have another track. This is called Super Mode, Tell Me Why. Now, tell me why you like this one, William.
That's a very good pun you've just made.
Yeah. I've been working on that for hours, I have.
Well done, Alan.
Thank you very much.
So why do you like it?
Because it makes me feel good. I think it sounds very rhythmic. I've got it on one of my old Now albums, Now 64, and not only do I like to listen to it on my CD, Now 64, I also like to listen to it on YouTube and watch the video to it as well.
Okay, well, I'll better check that one out then. Okay, this is Super Mode and Tell Me Why. Welcome back. This is All Things Charity on Radio Way. Got in the studio John Andrews and William. And John Andrews is a support worker for MenCap. Now, John, we'll just talk about this a little bit. Some of the challenges, tell me about those that you might have.
I mean, challenges may be sort of potential barriers, first of all, for people who may be thinking about the work. Maybe people don't really understand the sort of the world of learning disabilities, and maybe there's a lot of that that may sort of take people away from working in this sort of line of work. Money is another one. We don't get paid a massive amount, but you know, for me, it pays enough for me to pay my bills, and I get job satisfaction. But I think challenges, I think as well, within the job itself, there are some days when it can be really stressful, particularly if you've got somebody with maybe sort of complex needs, you know, maybe somebody that's non-verbal, and maybe there's lots of personal care, you're sort of constantly on the go.
And you're getting tired and
irritable,
exactly. A little bit as well.
You can find yourself at the end of a long shift, you know, you're constantly sort of on the go, and then as soon as you finish, you go home, you just want to sort of collapse on the sofa and sleep. Because it's not, even if you're not sort of physically doing something, it sort of can be mentally draining at times. So it's important, you know, we value sort of holidays and days off and annual leave and things like that. But yeah, I think the other thing maybe people off for the sleep-ins is a thing at the moment. I mean, sort of explain a bit how that works within MenCap. We have, depending on somebody's need, you have either a sleep-in, if it's required, and that's one of our sort of 24-hour services. So the member of staff would work during the day and then till 10 o'clock at night, and then they'll go off duty. But they'd remain in a room in the house, in the sleep-in room, so they'd be there if there's any emergencies, and then go back on duty at 7 o'clock in the morning or something like that. But they're there just in case there's an emergency they can sort of deal with over the night. So we get paid like a flat rate for the overnight bit, so that may be potentially, you know, not sleeping in your own bed potentially could be a barrier for some people. A lot of people sort of don't like that.
You're in somebody else's bed or something, aren't you?
Well, yeah, and you're sort of finding that you're sort of away from your own creature comforts and things like that. But yeah, I mean, some of the services we have waking nights as well, which basically have the day staff and the night staff, and the staff sort of continue to earn their hourly rate overnight because they're working, and that again depends on the individual's needs.
So you've been working for MenCap for 6 years.
Yeah.
What's the progression from what you do at the moment then?
Well, there is the sort of the progression route, that the sort of obvious route of becoming a manager. You can do that. There's a lot of training you can go on, and lots of sort of resources and things for that. So that will be sort of the obvious route. But MenCap have this thing called You've Got Talent. So we have appraisals, and every year the managers will sort of meet individually with their staff, and they'll look at what's you know, how they're performing, and rate, and we'll get rated. And if you get rated excellent across the board, then you get to go get on the You've Got Talent program. So that's happened to me this year. I was rated excellent by my manager, and I have gone on the You've Got Talent program. We had a big sort of launch up in Birmingham, and I was able to sort of meet people from different areas of the organization. And
that must be quite good, isn't it?
Just to
talk to other people in similar sort of situations, and swap ideas and things like that.
Well, yeah, and it's not just other support workers, it's people from all sorts. I mean, you know, people from different parts of the country, different job roles. Yeah. And they had this thing called a marketplace. So I was able to go around, have 15 minutes on each table, and talk to people in different parts of the organisation, and to look at maybe sort of doing some taster days within that part. So I'm looking at doing something for me. You know, I love what I do, but maybe something with a communication team is something that I would like to look at. So that's sort of I've got a mentor on the communication team, so I'm now sort of exploring where I go on that.
Mm, that sounds quite good, doesn't it? So
yeah,
there's plenty of places to go, isn't there?
Loads of places, once
you're on in MenCap. Yeah. You know, it's just not just support work and stuff. There's other stuff as well you can
there's
do.
So much. I mean, once you can just really sort of go wherever you want to go, and you know, the support is there. So you start as a support worker, and you can become a manager, become an area manager.
Is there any qualifications that you can earn while you're doing this as well?
You can earn MVQs. You can do that alongside your work. So I haven't done that personally, but I know you can do that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Right, we're just going to have some news, local news, and then we'll come back to a track that William has chosen a little bit just off this.
Caring for your community. This is Radio Way.
A search has been launched to find relatives of a Second World War flying ace who was buried in a Dutch military cemetery. Wing Commander Ivor Gordon Easton Dale, nicknamed Daddy because in his late 30s he was far older than most of his men, lived near Redhill at the outbreak of the war. He was killed in February 1945 when his Mosquito crashed south of Sittard in the Netherlands. In 1944 he was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. As the commander of 21 Squadron, he did not fly regularly, but according to an account repeated later by some of his men, he liked to keep his hand in. On February the 2nd of 1945, they picked up a Mayday signal from him. He told them that an engine had failed, and his last words were, "I'm going in, chaps. Goodbye." He's buried next to his navigator, Flying Officer Kenneth Hackett. Every November, the Sittard War Graves Committee invites relatives of one of the servicemen buried at the Commonwealth War Graves Commission Cemetery there to be special guests, but they've drawn a blank in tracing any of Wing Commander Dale's relatives and are hoping that readers and listeners may be able to help. I'm Cameron Hardcastle and you're listening to Radio Way.
Right, it's back with All Things Charity with host Alan Dolby, and I've got John Andrews from MenCap, who's a support worker, and also William. Now, William, what sort of things, what hobbies have you got that you like doing?
Well, I like to get up to my spare time, like at the weekends. I like to go into Woking with my mum and walk by the canal.
There's some quite nice areas by the canal as well, isn't there? It's quite nice.
There are indeed, yes. We like to go to cafes together, like Cafe Nero, Bill's, and Costa Cafe. And a relatively new one called Marciano, which I believe is a Spanish restaurant.
Oh, okay. Well, I wonder that is then. Is that opposite Nero's, is
that
it?
That is opposite Cafe Nero, yes.
Okay, all right. Yes, I've seen that. I've seen quite a few people outside, but I haven't actually managed to get in there yet. There's normally quite a queue outside to go in there. Oh, okay, that's a good tip then. That's a good place to go. Have you got any other hobbies at all that you like doing? Apart from listening to music, I suppose, obviously.
The other things I like to get up to is listen to music, obviously, and watch the Grand Prix on the Sunday afternoon, I like to do, or listen to them on the Radio 5 Live.
Yeah, because it's a Belgium Grand Prix on this weekend.
That's right, yeah. Yes. I'd just like to say hi to my mum, if that's all right, if I may.
Yeah.
Hi, Mum. I hope you're doing well and you're enjoying listening to this radio show. What else I like to get up to is
who do you think is going to win the Formula One World Championships this year then?
Well, I'm hoping that Valtteri Bottas wins it this year because I'm a Bottas fan and I'd like to see him become world champion this year because I saw on a few years ago there was Bottas on the front cover of an F1 racing magazine,
mm-hmm.
and they had a headline describing him as, in capital letters, a future F1 champion in the making, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
And I strongly believe that will come true.
Okay, right. Right, we haven't got very long. We've only got 5 minutes left, would you believe? We've done 55 minutes of this show. It's just gone so quickly. So very interesting things to talk about. We've got this one track, which is about 3 minutes, and then quickly we'll talk to John Andrews, and that'd be it, I'm afraid. Right, let's have this track, and this is called The House Martin, from The House Martins and His Caravan of Love.
Today, and everyone is. Bring the young and the old. Won't you let your love stand up, stand up.
That's the House Martins and the Caravan of Love. I'm afraid I had to finish that a little bit early. Now, John, you obviously work on the radio quite a bit as well. You volunteer on the radio.
Yes, absolutely.
How does that help your MenCap work and vice versa?
Well, I kind of came into the role with the MenCap through sort of an experience of training this chap up with, who has Asperger's, and working through sort of barriers and working through to get him to a place where he can present a programme. So that was kind of what led me into it, and I have, you know, sort of brought people on support. We've been down here a few times, haven't we, William, in the past?
Recorded
a CD of a sort of a mock radio show which you take home, play to your family and stuff. So I definitely think there's a link between people with learning disabilities and the radio. It's such a powerful thing. You know, it's fun, but it's also improving communication skills and confidence. Yeah. And if somebody comes up with a situation where they need to do public speaking, this is a good sort of training ground for that as well.
Oh, okay. That's very good. And do you think that your MenCap work helps your radio work as well? Does it give you a little bit more confidence, maybe?
I think so. And a
bit more of a connection with the audience?
I think so, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I walk around the wards of Quest Collecting, and I think the skills that I've learned through MenCap and the training I've had, that can benefit me, really, and help me to be sort of empathetic and to people I meet in the wards, because there's, you know, people with various disabilities that you come across when you're walking around the wards of St Peter's.
So how can people contact MenCap then?
Well, if you want to find out more about becoming a support worker at MenCap, you can send your CV direct to recruitment@mencap.org.uk. That's recruitment@mencap.org.uk. I think there's actually a website where you can find vacancies in the area. There's lots of vacancies around the Surrey area, so something may be of interest. It's mencap.org.uk/jobs. Or if you want to give the recruitment team a call, their number is 01733 246699. That's 01733 246699, and reference radio, and they'll point you in the right direction and give you more information.
Okay, we're completely out of time. Thank you very much, John and William. And just come up with the news now.